Welcome to Verify Infield, the Millwork podcast. Your host, Jacob Edmond, CEO of Duckworks, will be interviewing experts in the industry to bring you insights and knowledge about the latest trends, techniques, and challenges in millwork. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting out, this podcast is for you. So sit back, relax, and join us as we explore the world of millwork. Here's Jacob.
Hey, Jonathan. Thanks for joining us today on Verify and Field. I appreciate you making time to meet and talk with us.
Thanks very much, Jacob. Looking forward to having this conversation.
Jonathan Kaur, our guest, is a founder of Customer Growth, and he works as a construction content creator. And so I've been following you and found your stuff on LinkedIn and the different socials. You're posting a lot of great content about content creation specific to the construction industry. And I think to get started, it'd be really interesting if you can just share a little bit about your background and what led you to creating Customer Growth, your company.
Yeah, so great question. So it all started, so basically back up. So I come from a construction family. So I grew up in a construction family. My dad was a painter and my majority of my life. Later on, as I started getting into middle school, high school, he started his own commercial residential painting company, you know, doing different types of projects. And so during high school, I would work with him during the summers. Because there was no budget for school clothes for me. And so basically what I did was work the summers with them as a painter and be able to help them just with minimal tasks. Obviously, I wasn't doing anything major, but at least just trying to get my foot in the door to make some money to be able to pay for school clothes. But as I was doing that, I got more and more ingrained into just construction, culture, all that sort of stuff with the trades. Eventually, a lot of my career trajectory would have pointed me to go and become a musician or be a musician for the rest of my life. And that was my plan. I went to a music institute for 2 years. I went to a music college in Boston, and then I came back, started working for a music retailer. During that time, was playing tons of shows, doing all that sort of stuff, and then eventually became a music director for a church out here, for a large mega church. And this was a lot of my career trajectory was just music, creative, creating all that sort of stuff. And eventually, I got married, and I realized I have to make some more money. I have to see what opportunities there are out there. And so that's the one piece. But the other piece, the reality was watching my dad build his own little business was super inspiring for me. Like, I definitely wanted to be like my dad and have my own business in the future of some sort. And even too, during, as I was creating a lot of music and being involved in the music industry, I would listen to a lot of audiobooks on business, different business podcasts. I just ate it up. When I wasn't doing music, this is what I was doing. And so eventually transitioned from the music world into the business world. And during that time, I had a mentor of mine, who was a CEO of a commercial coatings company here in Washington State. And so I basically met with him several times. He was guiding me and coaching me as far as, hey, how do I make the transition? What options are there? How would that look? And so eventually, as I transitioned off of being a full-time musician, I ended up picking up my painter whites, getting a bucket and getting some paint, obviously getting some brushes and doing what I did, which my dad connected me with an industry connection that I was able to work for and paint some condos during the summer as I was like transitioning out of the music world. So as I was doing that, I was interested to figure out, okay, what avenue do I want to go in? Obviously, as a creative myself, creating music, I'm like, I like creating. I like the process of creation. So obviously, I looked at every aspect, sales, project management, operations. There's so many aspects of business. But once I landed in marketing, I realized, I'm like, man, I really loved it. I really like the creation. I like that there's a business strategy side, but then there's also the creativity, ideation, all that sort of sides. And just meshing them both definitely worked really well for me. And so from there, worked the summer painting. And eventually this company that I was painting for said, hey, I know that you've been like exploring the idea of going into marketing. We have a sales and marketing position that we're opening up. What are your thoughts on applying and, you know, if there might be a fit? And so I just ended up texting my mentor of this other coatings company at a different company. And the CEO, I texted him saying, hey, so I just got this offer and I just wanted to get feedback. What are your thoughts? Do you think this is good? And he texted back. He says, Jonathan, I think this is a great idea. But I think instead of doing it for them, I think you should come on board with us here, do it for us. And for me, I was just like, I was completely like thrown off, caught off guard. I'm like, wow, he has an established company. He had at that point maybe around 80, 90 employees. I'm like, well, this is like a legit operation. And so eventually came on there and then got involved into the construction marketing. Like, they had a marketer there prior who was with any small business. You have people wear multiple hats. So they were not only doing marketing, they were doing some HR, all these sort of things. They had their hands in a lot of stuff. And basically from there, I was able to help them build out a full marketing program in about 2-ish years during my time there. From everything from social media to website to video content to photography through like actual storytelling, like even exploring the ideas of starting a podcast, all these sort of things. And so I really didn't have a blueprint. And so for me, it was just seeing what other industries were doing and then finding ways to apply it. The thing that was super helpful is that the CEO is very future. He's definitely very future minded as far as, okay, where's the industry? Where should we go as a company and where should we go as an industry? Because I'm sure as we'll touch base here soon, the industry is very dated and slow to change, slow to adopt technologies and new ways of doing things. And so this was super helpful because that definitely helped me build out the playbook, which would eventually, like I mentioned, I was 2 years there, and then I would eventually transition off to finally start my own company during the start of the pandemic. Who would have thought I would have done that? But I did. And from there, that's ultimately what led me to begin the path of beginning to grow what's now known as Customer Growth, which right now, so it's basically a social media marketing agency that works with commercial contractors, helping them build their brand online. But the reality of that story is this wasn't always as clear or as focused as I am now. When I first started in business, I'm sure as anybody, at least maybe with my skill level, is like you help anybody, you do anything, you do everything mm-hmm. for everybody. Anybody willing to pay, you're definitely open to doing business with them. But eventually I honed in. I'm like, okay, I want to focus on service businesses. Then I focused on construction. Then I landed in commercial construction, which was what I was initially doing when I first started in the industry. But yeah, that's the story as far as what led me to now build or actually realize what now is Customer Growth.
Awesome. So you ultimately went from music to a full-time job with pursuing a full-time job in marketing and, hey, I want to do something creative. You landed a full-time job through a mentorship, spent 2 years there, and I assume gained a ton of learning experience, education in that 2 years. You went from no experience in marketing in some ways, right, to, mm-hmm. hey, now I'm starting my own business. Can you walk us through what that looked like at that company when you started? What were they doing for marketing and how you went through those 2 years of essentially nothing, a part-time person doing marketing before you to, hey, they've got a whole process, a whole system, a whole kind of strategy, because that was something that before that you hadn't done yourself. Yep. But obviously, I want to dig into, I think there's some more experience maybe before this, obviously maybe being, I assume, a millennial, but exposed, like it's natural for us. We're absorbing social media. We're kind of seeing it. And maybe even when you started getting into this, you probably were researching like, hey, I'm starting painting. What painting companies are on social media? Mm-hmm. What are they doing? What was that process like? And was there any kind of like low hanging fruit that you started with towards a whole strategy?
Yeah. So that's a great question. So I think to begin with first, when I get that, so right now I'm 29 years old. So I'm a millennial. When I first started there, it was about 5 or so years ago. So it's maybe I was like 23, 24-ish. So keep in mind, like this is like a 23, 24-year-old coming in to lead marketing with this an experienced CEO who's built a company at least at that point at 15 years. And then there was a CFO and then a director of business development. Like I'm working with these guys that are a lot older, definitely more knowledgeable, more experienced, all sort of stuff. And so I think the best thing, and I'm glad I did this, I just asked a lot of questions. I asked a lot of questions. We scheduled a lot of meetings and I was just like trying to understand, okay, where's the business at? What is it that we're looking to do? It was more kind of consultative approach for the company. Because the reality is, like, in my perspective, I needed to build trust with the leadership. Although they did award me a lot of trust already, is I needed to build trust even more because the reality is, like, you're going to have a 23, 24-year-old come in and start telling you what to do on social media, but they don't understand your business. It's like, oh, that's really tough, a really tough case to make. And so my goal is to build trust, understand more. Also, too, through the process, they had hired a branding agency to help them rebrand and also to build a brand new website. And so it was really cool because they had this whole brand interview sort of thing, which basically involved like they did stakeholder interviews, meaning some people on the executive team, some team members, project managers, people like that, as well as a few clients. And they put this whole thing as far as where, like, what is the company right now? And then where is it headed? How is it perceived? All these sort of things. So that definitely gave me a lot of information. And so from there, the CEO at the time was following these two individuals on LinkedIn who were in the dirt world, and they were creating a lot of content, like specifically on just their journey, their story, the hiccups of a startup life, all that sort of stuff. And it really resonated with the CEO a lot. He would send me a lot of these ideas. And so we began, that was the first opening, was like, hey,
is that Build Wit by chance?
Exactly. So it's Aaron Witt from Build Wit, and then it's Keaton Turner from Turner Mining Group. So both of those guys back in like 2018 or 2017 was when they started doing a lot of this. And they were definitely pioneers specifically for just obviously the dirt world, but just I think construction in general, because there wasn't a lot of content out there back then. And so from that, we're like, okay, what can we leverage from this to be able to tell the brand story for the company I was at? And so some of the insights that I had at this point was this contractor, like the contractors working for, they were doing large commercial projects at this point. But like from an outsider's view, people thought it was a small mom and pop shop doing small little, maybe it is like shopping mall, like commercial shopping mall, all that sort of like meaning like strip malls. No, they were doing large multifamily projects, senior living, and healthcare, all that. They were definitely getting a lot more exposure to these things. And so we began to think and idea, okay, how do we position the company to be seen as like a growing player in the space and even to hopefully as a potential market leader in the future? And so a lot of this just began like there, obviously there's a lot of strategy that is involved in this, but it's like, how do we begin to tell a new story about where the company's at and where it's headed into the future? So I think social media definitely played a big part in that. And then from there, obviously like the website was being handled. I was very involved a lot in that because I had to gather all the right information, be the in-between between them and the executives, because a marketing speak doesn't always translate directly. And so I tried to make things as clear, as simple as possible. That definitely gave me more insight there. But eventually we decided to do more like project content. So I would go out on site, take photos of the projects, the different projects that they were doing. And then we would do other pieces of content as far as the marketing program to be able to highlight the culture. So we would do like spotlights of specific a team member and how they were exuding the values of the company, and just as a means to build culture, build positive association with the brand. So we're doing video content, doing photo content. Obviously, once we had the website, we had website content, which was specifically around like project content. Because a lot of times, especially too with contractors, as you probably know, is they do these incredible, like, especially commercial, like they do these incredibly complex and large projects. And when you ask them, hey, what kind of projects have you done? And they'll tell you some of the projects, but the hard thing with construction, it's very visual. So they want to see what you're building. And so a big effort for us was be able to build a page in the website, which was like actual detailed projects. Okay, what was the project? Who was the client? Who was the architect? What's inside as far as like problems that were solved specifically from the specific team? What's a write-up about the features of the project? Because you basically want to paint a big picture as far as like the magnitude and the complexity of the project they were doing. And so we began to do that. And just over time through social media, video content, photo content, obviously having great website content, and even to just very like a leadership bought in to this vision, we started to get more traction. Like a lot of the clients, because this is a finishing contractor similar to the millwork space that I was working for, because they're a painting coating, coatings contractor, and they're at the tail end of a project. But we started getting the actual GCs of these large 500,000 plus GCs start following our content. This wasn't like an invite to follow. They started following voluntarily themselves and engaging with the content. We're like, wow, I think we have something here. And then other people started engaging with the content from other, maybe even competitors and just other people within the industry. And I'm like, I think we have something here. And it's funny, I guess the one thing to conclude, I actually just met with this client. The company I was in-house working for, they're actually a client of mine still. So I still work with them, still build out this whole thing for them. But I just had a meeting with the CEO of the company, and he was just saying how like some of his competitors have actually, and I've seen this myself, are starting to see the uptick in engagement and all sort of stuff within the industry for them on social media and all sort of stuff. And they started posting themselves, like, but they don't, like, they're just doing what they know. Not every contractor knows what to post, so they're posting out there.
Right.
But he brought that up to me, and I'm like, it's crazy because we've been doing this for the past 5 years with them, and obviously it's not easy. It does take time to learn and grow this whole strategy out, and obviously it is a long-term play. But the reality is, like, they are making a huge dent in the industry now, especially as they expand into other states like Oregon and in the future other states. So I've definitely seen his impact. It's kind of like the story as far as like the way we've built out the strategy. I'm sure there's more nuance and detail, but that's the high level view.
We'll be back after a quick break.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step-by-step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
Yeah, so there's a ton to be packed in there. I want to drill into some things, but one thing I want to ask you about, and it real quickly is because you mentioned that they at the same time or around the same time hired a branding company. And for a lot of our listeners that may not know, I think a lot of people think, well, marketing is branding, branding is marketing. That's all one and the same. Weren't you going to do that? I think, can you speak about the difference between what a branding company would come and do, what that company came in and did, and marketing, like as you're describing what you do? Because, and you may, as you engage in with your clients now, right, they may already have a brand guide or all their branding together. Yeah. That is related and influences, but that's a different thing than your marketing strategy, right?
Yeah. So in my opinion, so if I were to break them up, like in very simple terms, branding is who you are. Like a good definition I've heard from other marketers is brand, like your brand is the gut feeling that a collective whole have on your company. So if I say the word McDonald's, you have a picture or some sort of feeling or emotion with associated with that. And that's brand. As far as marketing is concerned, marketing is more the function, more what you do in order to convey your brand. Whereas, like I said, brand is the who and also to the why, like why you're doing what you're doing. Those are the two distinctions I was make there. As far as like the branding a company, I've been in the industry now for some time and I follow a lot of people in branding and marketing, and all of them aren't made equal. So in my opinion, branding, so a lot of people, like you're saying, they typically help you with like your brand strategy, your brand like journey, all these specific things like your brand outline, your brand identity, for lack of better words, and which typically involves like your logo, your story, and really just the conceptual design that you have for your brand. And so a lot of times people associate branding with, okay, the look and feel of your company. But no, in my opinion, I think it goes a level deeper, going back to what I said. It's what people feel about, the gut feeling that they have about you. But if you go, like if a contractor goes to a branding company, likely they'll offer those types of services, logos, design, all that sort of stuff, be able to give you your identity, all that sort of stuff. But in my opinion, and I don't do branding myself, this is just speaking from experience working with them and even knowing them myself, I think the best branding companies look to dig in to understand who you are, why you're doing what you're doing, and what you're looking to do in the future, and then ultimately basically build a plan that actually conveys that, including your logo, including your branding guideline, all those specific stuff. Now, as it relates, marketing usually involves more just like the function of like social media. There's SEO. There's even mediums like this. This is a form of marketing. It's podcasting. There's long form video. There's short form YouTube videos. I would say that's more the function of building your brand. And kind of I would basically distinguish both of them.
And in marketing, so like you mentioned, like a branding strategist or design team will come in and they will, if you don't have a logo, they're going to help you create that, or they're going to build a whole brand guide around that. So everything like, okay, how can this logo be used? What colors do we use? What fonts do we use? And in what formats? And those are assets that in marketing, you're going to leverage.
Yep.
And then you're also going to build a strategy that supports that brand strategy as well.
Yep, exactly. It basically, to include on that piece, it's like the brand helps you understand who you are. And then marketing allows for you to convey that to everybody else once you understand what that is.
Yeah. Something else I wanted to drill into, you talked about it. So early on, obviously, this CEO hired you, and I assume at that point had already built a stable, successful company, you know, without you, right? And so I think that's something that probably a lot of owners probably struggle with. Is, I've already built this company. Why do I need marketing? Why do I need this? And two, I think even if when companies decide that, you know, thinking about like, why are they doing it and who are they speaking to? And that can be multiple different audiences for different reasons, you know? So one is, and you talked a little bit about this, one could be just internal, like recruiting. Hey, how do we speak about our culture? How do we get people to be proud to work here and also to want to work for us? And then there's external kind of client base. And I think particularly in construction, this can be very confusing because a lot of marketing that we as individuals consume is very consumer based.
Yep.
And in the construction industry, we're largely business to business. And so I think a lot of what I see, a lot of construction based and trades will say, oh, I want to show the finished product in a way of, hey, you as a consumer should be proud of this, but that's not speaking to your customer.
Yep.
Can you talk a little bit about that strategy? Okay, how did you come into a business that was already substantially successful? And how did you outline, why are we doing marketing? and who is our audience?
Yeah, I think that's an incredibly important question because most contractors, as you already know, Jacob, don't do any marketing. Like they're just, like you said, it is B2B and commercial is very relationship based. So you just go out networking events, go shake hands or go bring donuts to their office. There's different strategies, which I've seen different strategies for that. I think the biggest piece with this sits in there, okay, this company's already established. They have a team. They're growing, all that sort of stuff. They were named one of the fastest growing companies when I joined. And then the CEO got like a 40 under 40 by the local Sound Journal, whatever. And so they had a lot of, you know, a good milestones. But the reality is the CEO of this company knew, hey, like, we're trying to play a completely different game from what everybody else is doing. Yeah, there are other contractors that are maybe are bigger than us because they've been around for longer. They have more relationships, all this sort of stuff. But we, as a contractor, want to be progressive in the sense of trying to find better ways, more efficient ways to leverage not only like marketing, but tech. Like I was just talking with them today, like finding ways to leverage tech, the right partnerships, the right people who are willing to grow and break past the, hey, this is how it's always been done mentality. And so I get to answer your question as far as how did, you know, somebody who's already got an established and successful business, why would they want marketing? Well, it's because they realize that if they want to continue to do the things that like got them there, it'll only have like, so much margin for them to go past that. So they have to do different strategies, explore different avenues to be able to grow their business. And so with this contractor in particular that I was working for, leadership was incredibly important. Cause like I said, I've talked to other contractors who are older and sometimes trying to convince them of social media is it's one of the hardest things in the world. So I'm like, okay, like obviously this contractor is fine because they're generating millions or tens or hundreds of millions of dollars, which is fine. But in the future, here soon, there's going to be a lot younger contractors who are going to come swinging for the fences because they are leveraging tech. They are leveraging social media to be able to reach and attract talent or position themselves as a growing contractor or as a lead, all these sort of things in this space. And so I think as it relates to marketing, even now, because obviously the business has grown that I was obviously working at and then now work with as one of my clients, they've grown. But even to every year, honestly, it's every year that we do this is the more and more conviction that we need to do this, invest even more, do more, because we're seeing its impact over the long haul. Even though it's only been 5 years in the making, we've seen tons of ROI, whether it was direct, like actual opportunities or projects, or even to just finding ways to attract the right talent to the company.
Yeah. I think it's really important. You touched on this when you started, was a lot of businesses that have been around for a significant amount of time, especially in the trades and construction industry, largely work off of relationships. And it is a very relationship driven business. And I think a lot of people see that as a reason to be pushed against like marketing and kind of social media and this type of stuff. Yeah. And that still is a part of your, can be, and really is an important part of your marketing plan, part of your strategy, your sales strategy. And inclusive of marketing could be, hey, we're going to go to these trade shows, we're going to go to these in-person events, we're going to go visit these key clients still in person. And that can be a part of your whole strategy as well as social media. But I think, you know, what you mentioned was really important is really the motivation around just marketing as a whole, not social media content or anything, but marketing as a whole and having a strategy around it is growth. So like you said, what you've done to date got you to the show, got you to where you're at. But if you want to grow beyond that, you have to do more or different things. And in that is also to stay ahead of the curve, I would say is probably one of them. And you've touched on this, but you can, in any industry, you can wait to see what everybody else does, your competitors, and then, now I need to do that too to keep up with them. Yep. Or you can choose to be a leader and be innovative and drive the direction of things, which it sounds like this client of yours largely did, and now others are following suit and saying, oh, what they're doing is working. Yeah. But what are, if you kind of group kind of the overall goals, there's growth, there's okay to be a leader and it be innovative. There's probably driving kind of culture and recruiting is a big benefit that I don't think enough people take seriously and think about.
Yep.
But anytime you're hiring nowadays, one, you're largely doing it online, or, you know, hey, I'm going to find them on LinkedIn. I'm going to find them on social media. And even if you're not, those applicants are doing that. They're looking you up. Hey, does this company that I'm applying for have a website? Does it look like it's been updated in the last 10 years? Are they on social media? And that makes a big impact in any applicant. Wow, this company's legit. They're serious. Mm-hmm. And they're somebody I want to work for versus, their website was built in 2002 and it's on WordPress 1.0 and I can't the people that are on here and the about section aren't there anymore. Can you talk about those different types of things? And one you've mentioned, but some specifics of like over the last 5 years, this client, what are the things that they're reaping now as benefits from this? And what are some of the less tangible kind of goals and benefits of a cohesive marketing strategy?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think that so I ended up pulling up this post I actually made 2 days ago. I just want to read it really quick. It's not super long, but it literally conveys exactly what you're saying here. So what contractors think social media marketing is: showing off, looking cool, promoting your services, only talking about your projects. What social media marketing actually is: differentiating yourself from other contractors, positioning yourself as a leader in your market, preaching your vision for your company and the industry, showcasing your work you're capable of doing, highlighting your incredible project partners, spotlighting an incredible team member you have. And it's crazy, this last one, I should have thought of it right away, but I actually had a recruiter from a top recruiting firm. The CEO commented on this saying, hey, I would also add that attracting top talent to your team actually is incredibly benefit. Like, it actually happens through social media. So for me as a marketer, I'm like, this is coming from a recruiting guy. This is what he lives and breathes. He's like, no, this actually works. And so for me, I'm like, those reasons alone are a great reason to begin like posting on social media. And so basically the way I ended it was saying, every post you make has the power to make any of these benefits a reality. The sooner contractors understand this, the sooner you'll reap its benefits. And so sometimes some of these things are direct. Okay, yeah, maybe you're able to attract this specific person to your company. But the reality is, like, you just never know who's making judgments and conclusions about your company. And that's where, going back to the branding piece, for me, as it relates to social media or even marketing in general, my goal is actually not to be salesy at all. Because especially too, like, you think about it from a B2B standpoint in construction, if you show up, like, in my opinion, do you want to be the person at the networking event that goes and shakes everybody's hands and gives them your business card and tells them what you do and then walks away and does that to 50 other people? Or do you want to be the person that actually has meaningful conversations, exchanges value, education, information, even inspiration as far as stories or things that you've overcome or done, and actually build a positive association with that individual? And so for me, I think as it relates back, I feel like that at least hopefully that piece answered your question. But even to piggyback on one of the things you said as far as sales and marketing, sometimes people say, okay, sales and then marketing is under it. No, in my opinion, sales and marketing go hand in hand. In my opinion, sales is one-to-one. So if I was selling to you right now, Jacob, obviously I can only have one conversation with you because you have your business. I want to get to know it more and then see what solutions I can offer you. Whereas in my opinion, marketing is one to many. Like, you're able to have and create multiple touch points, which in marketing people will refer to as nurturing your audience, all that sort of stuff. And so that's where, for me, I think both are necessary in construction and specifically commercial construction. You need your guys out there in business development or project manager, super, like, going out there, shaking hands, meeting people one to one, because that allows for you to go deeper. Whereas marketing allows for you to go broader, but go to many people and ultimately create these positive associations.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think there's a couple of things I want to highlight there. One is the importance in kind of marketing and sales and supporting each other. And they're very much intertwined. And as you mentioned, very much equally important. And so, for example, like, sales informs and also your marketing strategy. And so one, does sales have specific goals that can inform how you strategize marketing? But also data from sales, like, hey, okay, we're doing great in this niche market and we want to grow into this market. You get that from data that sales collects. And they might say, hey, we really want to branch out into this type of product or this type of market or this type of region. Okay, we can now strategize in marketing how to do it. Two is, a lot of companies are doing marketing without realizing it. So your guys going on the job site wearing your company shirts, that's an aspect of marketing. And specifically, that part of marketing is just literally bringing awareness that you exist as an option in that market.
Yep.
You know, and that's something that is more obvious in kind of consumer-oriented products. Okay, obviously everybody knows McDonald's exists. So when they're hungry and they are thinking, hey, where am I going to eat? That's going to be an option in their mind, especially if they see the sign that makes them aware, hey, it's here for me. We don't think about that as much in business to business. And usually, historically, it's, oh, I've got a relationship with this project executive of the GC that is one of my clients, right? So he already knows I exist. I have coffee with him every month or whatever it is, right? But that is very limited to who you have access to, who you have relationships with. And now, especially in our industry that we're very much not regional, like your coatings company that you mentioned, like maybe they were regional and now they're saying, hey, we want to branch into another region. The very large way to become have people become aware of you is, do you exist?
Yep.
And now when you talked about, okay, do you want to go and be that person who just goes and shakes hands and gives a business card and leave and they might forget about you? Imagine that you go to a new event you've never been to and you introduce yourself to somebody and they say, oh, I've seen your company on LinkedIn. I've seen your content, or like they're aware of you without realizing they're aware of you. And now you have an in to now a new networking relationship that you already know how to do that. But it's another path for people to become aware of you and create that connection that otherwise wouldn't be there because you're operating in different regions or different markets. But it opens up those opportunities. And the more opportunities you have, everybody who's done sales knows this. I mean, if you're probably getting spammed with lead generation companies like crazy now. But it's because this goes all the way back to people putting signs for buying refrigerators at the stoplight to putting yellow letters in your mail to buy your property. It's a volume game.
Yep.
And the more territory you can cover and become an awareness, the more opportunities you have to choose the right opportunity to close a deal.
Yep.
So I think that those kind of three things, awareness is a big piece of it that people don't think about. And awareness in a way that basically you are building rapport with your potential customers before even having the chance to meet them or speak to them. They're yep. seeing that you exist. They're seeing the work you do, as you mentioned. They're seeing the people, your culture. They're seeing, hey, this is a kind of company that I might want to do business with. Yep. And now that I have this type of business that I need to do, I'm going to consider them.
Exactly. And I think even to back to one of the things you were saying about sales informs marketing, I would even go a step further to go, I think when it comes to building like a strong like marketing strategy, not even social media, but marketing strategy, like people are like, okay, like, but when they look at the function of marketing, they disassociate it from other aspects of the business. No, it's all integrated. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, the marketing strategy and objective and plan should be completely linked to what the business goals and objectives are. So, hey, if we're planning on expanding into a new market, cool. How do we leverage the function of sales? How do we leverage the function of marketing to make this business level objective or goal a reality? And then from there, then you look at the sales aspects that you can leverage and be able to build relationships, but then you also look at the marketing function. And then obviously those two will be able to build off each other. But in my opinion, sometimes I referred to it as random acts of marketing. People are like, hey, we're seeing other contractors posting content or doing social media or having this on their website or whatever. We should do it too. In my opinion, that's a random act of marketing. It's throwing spaghetti on the wall to see what sticks. It's an awful strategy because you're going to waste a lot of time, energy, and resources. Whereas if you were to look at it from, hey, like this is my goal for this next year for my company as far as growth, headcount, all these sort of things. How do I find like the right marketing strategy or sales strategy or both to be able to make that a reality? I think that's a better approach for an executive, any company, than saying, hey, we need to start doing SEO because this other competitor is doing it. It's like, one, do you know if it's working? Do you know if there's actual value? Do you know why they're doing it? All these specific things. And instead of chasing what the next shiny toy is in marketing, instead be like, hey, we're going to try to associate it or relate it back to our objective. And that's all we're doing. Being completely focused on that. Because especially too, like what happens is a contractor will be like, okay, we started doing SEO for 3 months and it didn't work. It's like, oh, this takes time. And so that's it for me. I'm like, it's a long game as well. But the more and more focus you have and conviction you have on why you're doing your marketing and how it's related back to your business objective, I think will allow for you to stick in it for the long haul.
Yep. No, I think that's really important. And I think what you touched on there also, but is that strategy can evolve and should evolve over time as your business goals evolve. It was a year one, it might be, hey, we want to just develop an audience that understands, that has an awareness of us. And year two, it could be, hey, we really want to push towards this specific market or this specific goal. And as you do it longer, one, you not only does your sales and your business goals inform your marketing, but the data you've collected and what you've learned through marketing informs your future marketing. Yep. And so you start to develop an audience and you start to gain awareness of, okay, what works? What results are we getting from this? Are we starting to see an uptick in lead generation in this particular region or this type of work or whatever it is? But two, as you develop an audience, you now have a kind of a pathway to your customer base, to your company, your employees, your potential prospect of prospective new hires, for crafting your image, your brand, mm-hmm. your message of what you want to say. So one, if you now, hey, we need to recruit suddenly that we didn't plan for, but now we need to recruit this key role. You have an audience, you have a platform to get that message out there in a way that you are controlling, you are crafting, you are saying, hey, this is what this role is. This is the type of place we want to go chase after this, the type of candidate. Building an audience and building these platforms also gives you space in the future for new opportunities you wouldn't otherwise have.
Yeah.
And allows you to really craft the mess in the image you want of your company, which is ultimately what you are, but presenting it in a way where you're actually the one speaking directly to your clients, your prospects, or your industry, whatever it may have. And so I think that those are the things that just opens up more and more opportunities for you to adjust your strategy as your business grows and your needs change.
Yeah. And I was going to say too, with Mark, because I know that obviously you're in the finishing, one of the finishing trades, millwork, all that sort of stuff. I was talking to a residential contractor, and it's crazy because marketing, you should look at marketing and investing into marketing, like building a well before you get thirsty. That's how you should view it. Because especially mm-hmm. if you need marketing right now, and it's not so much you need marketing, you actually need sales or you need these other things, and then you go to it, it's going to let you down because it does take time. It does take obviously strategy, all that sort of stuff, and it takes time for it to snowball and grow. And what I've seen some contractors do is they treat their marketing or social media as like, hey, like we need this role. Okay, let's go post about a role on social media and then watch a whole bunch of hoping that a whole bunch of applications come in. But that's not the case because you didn't build the well before you were thirsty, and no, there's no audience there for you to pull from. And then even right. like there's obviously other functions of the business. And so for me, I'm like, it's that whole adage of the best time to have planted a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now. And I think that's why I look at marketing. And so as it relates to residential contractors, I've been having conversations with a few residential guys here because the market's changing. Obviously the economy, all that sort of stuff is very touchy and you just don't know what's going to happen. And so now they're beginning to see a lot of these contractors, whether residential or commercial, that have relied solely on referrals and just relationships are now being like, okay, things are drying up a little bit. I want to do marketing now. I'm like, I obviously want to do everything I can to help them, but at the same time, I can't just wave a magic wand and have everything be fixed, because if you're barely investing into this now or focusing this on now, I'm not going to say it's too late because you could still do it. It's just that there's going to be a harder season that you have to go through because you didn't invest in the area. And that's where for me, I'm like, with marketing, you should definitely find ways, whether it's hiring somebody in-house, hiring somebody like me, or even just having an admin or someone begin to do something that at least gets something out there. Because when it comes time, whether it's the economy or growth, or maybe even like a downturn, all these sort of things, you'll be ready because you'll have an avenue for you to be able to get your message out there and to you to build positive associations with other people, your clients, as well as maybe even vendors, and as well as people maybe you're wanting to attract to your company.
Yep. Now that is a really important thing. I think it's important people understand and hear. It just the common advice is, hey, it's easier to get a job when you have a job than if you don't,
yep. right?
So very similarly, it's better to market for your next client mm-hmm. while you have work and yeah. for a couple of reasons. One, that work you're doing today is a source of that content mm-hmm. for marketing. And two, as you said, it is a thing that takes time. You're investing in building towards the future. And a lot of people focus on it when, oh man, sales are slowing down. How do we get more interest? How do we get more leads? And and it doesn't just pick up like that. And two, you don't want to go selling and marketing with a voice of desperation, because that also doesn't bode well. But I think that starting to create that that steady trickle, that steady, and you're going to get better in refining your strategy as you do. Like you said, you might be somebody, an admin or somebody that isn't familiar. I've been the person that created LinkedIn accounts for some early companies I worked in. I don't know anything about marketing, but I knew that, hey, I wanted to work somewhere that had a LinkedIn. I wanted one as an employee to be able to have an image next to my mm-hmm. job title on my page. Creating that then starts to create that steady flow. And when you need it, you can crank it up and focus it. It's better to have opportunities and have an audience and have people coming to you and saying, hey, I'm full, versus I've got nothing to do and now I'm going to scramble and try to figure out how to get opportunities.
Yeah.
So starting now before you need it is very important advice that people hear. because then it's there when you need it.
Yeah, for sure.
So now getting to, I think, some real tangible advice, because we have probably a lot of people listening that maybe have a LinkedIn, maybe have a Facebook page, and they put some content out there from time to time, but there is no real strategy behind it. Can you talk a little bit about just if people are saying, hey, okay, I want to throw my hat into this. I know I need to do it. You've convinced me. You've sold me. How do we get started? What is the lay of the land of just a basic, can't screw it up social media strategy from the platforms that you recommend, the type of content, you know, how to get started, whether it's once a week, you know, what kind of that, hey, here's your beginner's plan.
Yeah, no, for sure. As far as social media, I guess before I break down aspects of this, it's important to know that a lot of this information, a lot of these things that I'm like sharing are for free on my LinkedIn. Like if you go on my page, I'm constantly posting content tips and things like that, that are 100% free. And actually like, these are things that you can implement right away in your business, whether it's for your business or even your own personal brand in construction. There's definitely a lot of value there. And the reason I say that is I also started a community recently called Construction Marketers, where I'm actually creating a lot of this content in detail in a video in a YouTube type style format. So I think it was a week or two, maybe 2 weeks ago, I released a video specifically, hey, how contractors can build a social media strategy from A to Z. And I guess we can unpack a little bit of it here, but honestly, like I'm creating these free resources, basically taking a lot of the knowledge, a lot of the insight I had as an in-house marketer, as well as working now with clients all over the states and seeing trends, seeing different things that have worked, haven't worked, obviously learning from my failures, all that sort of stuff. And I'm creating it in this specific environment. So there's obviously content pieces around, like I mentioned, building your social media strategies, the do's and don'ts for social media, because I've written thousands of social media posts. There's even a video I created recently too, that which might be helpful for your audience about the differences of commercial and residential marketing. Because even those two are very different animals. The way they approach the audience, all sorts of stuff. You have a B2C, B2B, very different audience. And so I wanted to caveat that first. But as far as it relates to your social media strategy, it really is all built on the who, what, when, where, and why you're posting, as well as how you're going to be posting. I think to break it down is like the who, like to be able to go through the five W's. The who is, okay, who is it? Like when it comes to creating content for your company, who is your audience? Who is it that you're speaking specifically to? Is it other contractors? Are they GCs? Are they maybe a subcontractor? Like who is it specifically that you're targeting? Also too, the flip side can be true as well. Is it your employees? Because at the same time, recruiting and retention, all that sort of stuff is very important nowadays. And I have a contractor I'm working with who have projects scattered throughout the states. And he was telling me when we first started work, he's like, it's important for me to know that, hey, communicate to our team. Hey, we're one team. We're scattered across many locations, but we want to articulate, hey, we're all just one team here. Yeah, it might get a little bit lonely, especially when you're out on different projects, all that sort of stuff. But he just wants to reaffirm that, hey, we're one team. We're here with you. We're here to back you. And so that's their audience. And so obviously there is an aspect of their clients, but I think that's the first piece is who is it that you're ultimately looking to market to? The what is what content are you going to post? And I think that's very informed by the audience that you have. If it's clients, it might be showcasing the type of work you have, the scale of projects that you're doing, the complexity of projects you're doing, projects awarded, projects completed, the groundbreaking, the topping off, the certificate of everything in between. Like that might be more client focused, whereas maybe for as it relates to recruiting and attracting talent, it might be around your culture, your mission, vision, your values, highlighting specific like people stories. So like I mentioned, when I was in house with that contractor, we would do specific spotlights of employees, how they were exuding the values, and in order to be able to build morale and obviously unite the team more. And so that's really what informs. So knowing who you're targeting is important. But then what you post is reinforced back to who is it that you're ultimately looking to reach. As far as the tactical things, as far as people say, hey, when's the best time, all sort of stuff. In my opinion, I think every contractor at a minimum should be posting one time per week. If you're able to scale up from there, great. But sometimes this is what I've seen some contractors make the mistake where they're like, okay, I'm convinced, I'm motivated. I want to start posting on social media, and they start posting every day. And they're like, actually, we want to do it twice a day, all these sort of things. And then they end up posting, in my opinion, what comes across as salesy, spammy, and self-serving content, which if you ever talk to anybody, if you ever had a conversation with somebody who only likes to talk about themselves, it's not a great conversation. And so you want to make it an actual conversation with other people, bring them in, So as far as when to post, like I mentioned, at a minimum, once per week, you can scale it up from there based on the quality of content that you do, but also to the best times, at least. Now, I made a video recently about this, obviously, like I mentioned. And one of the things I said, like, I don't want to reinvent the wheel here. Like, if you type in Google, hey, like, when are the best times to post on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, you know, YouTube Shorts, all these sort of, it'll give you likely a very good starting point. But if you don't want to go through that, typically, depending on what time zone you're at, and especially too, if you're just like in a specific region, the best time, you know, right before the workday, maybe right before 8 a.m. And then also too, around lunchtime, because that's typically when people take out their phones to see what's going on online. As far as where to post, in my opinion, if you're a commercial contractor, you should definitely be on LinkedIn, because that's definitely more the B2B side. But yeah, I think you should also be on Facebook and Instagram, and even the other platforms like TikTok, if you have short form video content that you can leverage, but definitely Facebook and Instagram, because those are more like, those are typically your tradespeople, their families, vendors, people like that, that are following. So you also want to engage all sides from there. As far as a residential side, I would definitely lean, yeah, more into the Facebooks, Instagrams, TikToks, maybe YouTube Shorts. LinkedIn, I do see residential contractors on there. And for me, especially, I love LinkedIn. So I'll always recommend LinkedIn. But I think your time is better suited, in my opinion. Probably the best platform is going to be Instagram, because there's a lot of residential contractors that are crushing it on their brand online. So who, what, when, where, why, obviously the why you're posting, in my opinion, is all reinforced on who it is your target, like what's your end goal, which ultimately ties back to your business objective. Why do you want to post? Is it more clients? Is it more brand exposure? Is it improving recruiting efforts? It could be a little bit of all of them, but the more and more you understand why you're posting, I think it definitely informs your strategy. So who, what, when, where, why. And then as far as how you end up doing that, there's basically two ways. So one of the ways is you do it in-house. You either hire somebody, or you train somebody, or even have them like follow my content or a YouTube channel to learn how to do that, how to build the strategy and apply it. Or you can even outsource it to somebody like me. Typically, I'll work with contractors who don't have an in-house marketing team or personnel and want that presence, but don't want to like, who honestly, in my opinion, talking to construction companies, they don't always know, because I don't know how to manage them. I don't know how to expect them what to do. And so in my opinion, when you work with somebody like me, I specialize in this specific area, and I know the ins and outs. I know the whole blueprint from the beginning to the end, and I'm constantly learning too and feeding myself this sort of stuff. So if you want to be able to like jump the hoop and basically be able to get the amount of expertise that you want to grow for your company, you'd work with somebody like me. But if you have the patience and you're willing to go through some of the hardships as far as like training somebody or having somebody come in and help you, that's totally okay too. But that's as far as the how you would go about actually executing this. So hopefully that helped lay down the framework for strategy.
Awesome. No, I totally agree. I think that the big three, if people wanted to just highlight, summarize, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook are your big three. Yep. If you get into more video, YouTube, TikTok are very great as well. Yep. And you touched on this. B2B, also culture, hiring, recruiting, LinkedIn is like second to none for all those. A lot of times Facebook and Instagram are very good for your employees and people sharing the work they do with their families.
Yeah.
But also definitely in the residential industry, you know, those are huge because your customers are on there as well.
Exactly.
And they might not be on LinkedIn. So I think those are great foundational start. And also you could just start with one of those. I would say definitely if you don't have a company page on LinkedIn, if you do nothing else but go create that so that you own it and it has your logo there and people know you exist and that people work for you can do that. That is like day one, a huge start and gets you a place to just go create those pages so that you have the handle, you have the platform so that when you're ready to start, whether you're going to hire Jonathan or promote somebody internally to do this, you have the place to do it. I think that's a huge place to start for anybody looking at this. We will link definitely your, what did you call it? Construction community?
Yeah. So the community is called Construction Marketers. It's not
Construction Market.
Yeah, it's not housed under Customer Growth. It's its own entity. And my goal, honestly, is to look to build one of the biggest construction marketing communities in the US. And so I definitely see there's a lot of room. Like a lot of people I'm realizing now are hungry to learn more about marketing, are compelled to learn more about it. And especially too, as it comes to the labor shortage and all these specific things, there's definitely, this has to be a collective industry effort in order to be able to mitigate against these things that I believe are impacting the industry now and also too in the future.
Awesome. Well, that is all a ton of really good information. You have a great load of it, more as you said, on both your pages, and we'll link those so that people can go and absorb those. You're posting long videos as well as short form videos. If you follow Jonathan, you follow Construction Marketers, you follow also Customer Growth, you're going to see his face with 30-second advice, just like what he just shared with you. And there's loads more of it. If people do want to reach out to you, obviously we'll link your webpage, LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube, all of the above. If people want to reach out and talk to you more and find getting advice and how they can work with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah. So for me, I live on LinkedIn. Like, I'm constantly there, whether it's creating my own content, engaging with the community, or even to just seeing what other people are posting and supporting them, or even learning stuff myself. And so I think that's the best platform to connect with me on. Because at a minimum, even if you just send me a request, I'll obviously accept it and send you a message just saying good to be connected. But you'll constantly see my content that, honestly, I believe anybody in the construction industry will help them level up their marketing for themselves or for their company, regardless of what position or where they're at. Because I have everybody from superintendents to project managers to project executives. All these titles are, people are following me and they're learning and they're engaging and they're liking. So this isn't only limited to business owners. This isn't only limited to marketers or business development. This is open to anybody wanting to learn. And I'm noticing there's a big hunger for it. So if you want to connect on there, feel free to connect with me. Don't feel pressured to send me a message or anything. If you just want to connect, just connect. That's still, I don't hard sell anybody anything. That my goal is to just lead with value, educate. But if you end up wanting to have a conversation, whether it's shooting me a DM, like, I think that's one of the good ways, or even to going on my website to go check out the type of work I've done, and also to just fill out the form there so we can schedule a good time to be able to chat. And hopefully at a minimum, just share some strategy or ideas that can help you, you know, with your marketing for your company.
Awesome. I appreciate all of that. The work you're doing is much needed and adding a lot of great value to the industry as a whole. And, you know, what we do in construction is important for today and the future of our entire society. It's exciting to see other like-minded young people in the industry making a big impact and making waves. Great work.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jacob. It's been really cool chatting. And honestly, the last thing I'll say is it's even cool. I like that this wasn't just an interview. There's a little bit back and forth. Like, you shared some thoughts. I can definitely tell that you have a knack for sales and marketing. And so it's always really cool to be on a show where the host is as motivated, invested. And honestly, it seems like we're just building off each other's energy here. Yeah. So I think that's great. So just want to commend you on that. And also to just thank you so much for having me on your show.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would love to have you on again in the future, and we'll continue staying in touch and sharing your content.
Let's do it.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. Do you want to stay up to date about industry insights, new content, and our community of millworkers? Go to duckworksmw.com to sign up for our newsletter. I'll see you in the next episode of Verify in Field.